I mean, your mother, you say, was ostracised. How was she? Why was she ostracised?
Well, my mother at 17 came from a background which was very much conservative. I know there wasn't very much other than liberals in those days.
In Lincoln?
This is in Lincoln. Though she had been born in Sleaford, but her father moved to Lincoln. And it was liberals or conservatives.
Yes.
On my grandfather, and my mother, well, it was my great-grandfather, my mother's father, my grandfather, were great workers at the Conservative Club in Lincoln. Then at 17, my mother became friendly with this girl whose father was the Medical Officer of Health at that time. And between them, they decided that they would set about creating a suffragette movement in Lincoln, and they did.
Who was the girl?
Yeah, I can't remember her name, and I ought really to have phoned the department in Lincoln to say, what was your MOH? But I never got round to it. I can't remember her name. Yes. And then she met, through this activity, my father, who was a tailor by name and a tailor by occupation. He and two brothers were in a family business.
In Lincoln?
In Lincoln, yes. And they all became master cutters, you know, it's all rather extraordinary sort of thing, really. But anyway, he met my mother, and it was always a... And they each had a great sympathy for what the other was trying to do. He himself had decided that socialism was going to be the thing and would lift the working classes from the slough of despondency and so on. And to this end, he rather tended to leave the family business to his two brothers. However, he and my mother were married when she was 19, so that was in 2 years' time. And my mother then had my sister.
Could I ask you, what was your mother doing at that time? Was she just unemployed?
She wasn't. Really? I don't think she was really doing anything.
No, just at home.
She was at home. She went. She was educated in it, but she went to what was known as a seminary for young ladies. She wrote very well, and her speeches were good, and that sort of thing. And she read The Guardian, and read it from page to page, and current affairs were her life.
Yes.
Really,
yes.
Right to the end of her days, totally on the ball, much more so than myself.
Yes.
Spent the day weeping when Kennedy was shot. I don't know if she'd never come out afterwards, however, I won't digress. And then she had my sister, and then in 2 years, my brother, and then when she was almost 25 by this time, myself. I was born on the 17th of October 1913, and my mother would have been 25 on the 27th of that month. So she was 24, nearly 25 when I was born, but she had already gone to my sister and my brother. Before I was born, my mother had befriended someone who came to live with us for a while, and they used to go out with a pram, and they concealed in the well a stool, and they would set this up on the street corner. And I've had a letter from this woman's daughter. She's now 90 and lives in York, and I wrote to her daughter, and I had a letter from her, and she said, my mother still remembers, she is an extraordinary woman too, she well remembers pushing the pram and your mother saying, we'll look here, we'll stop here, you look out and I'll start to speak. And this was what they did. And she remembers my sister in the pram having to be disturbed whilst they got the stool out. And my mother would start a meeting on any old street corner by banging together a couple of cymbals or whatever was at hand. And she was a very fearless. And after this street corner business, they began to get other people interested, other women, who probably had never before stepped out of their back kitchens to
all
speak.
This in Lincoln,
all this
yes.
in Lincoln. The whole thing took
just for chocolate.
But at least I have never sat on my bottom. And I've never had a paid job since I was married, but I've never had
a day done a lot of
without
things.
Something. Yes, I have done a very great deal
of
things, very many different things.
So you almost would regard her as a model, would you? I mean,
my mother? It?
Yes.
My father was a very wonderful man, and he had a great influence on me for good. But my mother was my motivation. She felt that it was a privileged thing to have a loving and caring home, not necessarily financially privileged, but that sort of privilege. And she said that it was up to women, and women could be the ones that would mold the world in the future and so on. And she had a great sense of almost a boundary. To women in general. And are we on now?
Yes, yes, we're on. It's all right. I promise we stopped.
Well, I told you I would be leaving about.
Yes, no, everybody does. I'm not, you know, just say things when they occur to you.
Yes.
I mean, she wasn't, in a sense, aggressively feminist, in the sense that she works with her husband jointly.
Yes, she did. You see, after the vote was gone in 1918 for the other 30s, she was highly delighted. She's then set about, by this time, the war was over, my father had come back.
He went to the front, did he then?
Yes, he, for some reason, I've got all the papers there, he joined the Inns of Court Regiment, and I never have been able to find out why, but he was in the Inns of Court Regiment, and he did. He had several friends, socialists who became conscientious objectors, but my father felt that it was right that he should defend his wife and family and so on, and it was an important thing to do. A man's conscience had to be buried in times of disaster, so he joined up. And my mother was left alone, but having been a suffragette, having married my father, she was left alone when the war started, 1418, all with three children. She was a great pianist, and her prized possession was a grand piano in our sitting room. We didn't live lavishly. I was never without a car. From the time I was born, we had a car, but it was a T-Bone Model 4, or one of those. But my mother drove it.
Now, pioneer woman driver, really.
Yes, she was. She was. And my father always joked that once she'd come got out of the way of the law over the suffragette movement, she was then in the way of the law by the way she drove the car about the town, you see, and so on. I don't know if you know Lincoln and the stone bone in Lincoln.
I don't know very well,
no. It's now a walking precinct, and at that time it was a busy main centre road, and the policeman always on point duty, an arch similar to the one here. And that it was said that the policeman's helmet rose in the air each time her mother went through, you see, and something. But yes, she was a pioneer. But she used to drive to Scotland. My father used to, after he went into Parliament in 1924, he was elected to Parliament. He was, in fact, the first Labour councillor, mayor, and member of Parliament. He was mayor and member of parliament together.
For Lincoln.
And that was something that had never been done before. And I don't want to talk to you about my father because I could go on about that.
No, I'd be very interested. I mean, they're a pair, obviously.
Yes, they are. This is very true. And he used to catch the night train home on Fridays, which stopped at Grantham. So into the tea ford we went, all of us, and my mother at the wheel, and away we went to Grantham. Pick up my father, and she thought nothing of it, but everybody else thought it was the most daring thing, you see. But this was the stuff of which she was made, and she was still, though she became politically motivated because of my father and helped him in every possible way. I've got letters that she wrote at election times, addresses by her pushed through envelopes, through letterboxes. She was my father's helpmate, and I doubt very much that my father could have done the things he did had it not been for the support which she gave him. We always had open house.
dressing outfits, it's all there, just all fits in.
Yes. And then George Lansbury, he came to stay. Margaret Bonfield, she came to stay at our house. Mm-hmm. Ramsay MacDonald came to stay at our house when he was Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was young and we had two policemen at the gate and I felt very superior. And we had a detective who slept on the sitting room sofa whilst Ramsay MacDonald stayed at our house. So my mother really entertained all sorts of people. My father had an abiding friendship with a lot of people in the conservative movement as well. Mm. It's difficult to say. He was a very unusual man in a way, but a splendid father. He really was, as my mother was a splendid mother. She did her very best, as far as we were concerned, in spite of doing what she felt she must do outside the home. She was a homemaker.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. And did you have any help in the house?
She was a homemaker. Yeah, well, yes, we did. We did. This woman about whom I spoke, she came and helped in the house. But we also had a woman who used to come with a cap back to front, a man's cap back to front, and a Hessian. Which I remember very well, on wash days and that sort of thing. We didn't have any living in help. Our house was only a four-bedroom house. Because, you see, once my father had got into Parliament, he wasn't giving into the business. No. So he wasn't able to draw very much out. Mm. And the pay at that time, I remember, Parliament was £400 a year, even though better than I do.
So in fact we were not well off.
Mm. But my sister and I went to England High School and we were paid for. Because my mother and father felt that education was an investment. My sister, who became a most dedicated socialist, went to the London School of Economics on a scholarship. She had Lasky for a tutor. Mm. I've been looking for these. I found her certificates the other day. A Beveridge, signed by Beveridge.
It was a great period to be there.
Yes, it was. It was. And she became a county council in Nottinghamshire. She married and went to live there.
She's still alive, is she?
No, my sister was killed in a car crash. We really have had a tragic sort of a life, in a way. My brother, who was 2 years older than me, died at 12.
What a sort of
an epidemic thing it was. My sister and I survived, but he died, and he was such a splendid fellow, because he and I were close together and had a very good time together. My older sister tended to regard us as nuisances, and she was very studious, and I wasn't very studious.
What was the effect on your parents of losing their only son?
Well, it was really very shattering. I've got notes. I found a letter written to my father by the Dean of Lincoln to thank him for not having canvassed him at the time of the general elections. Mm. And so, into my son's early grave, your son's early grave, my dear wife had thrown the flowers, and how they felt about it. It was a very great tragedy to both my mother and my father. I always felt it would have been better had I died, you know, this sort of thing. But there you are. However, they sort of got over the storm of it and carried on.
Were they actually religious people, both of them? They were Church of England.
My father wouldn't allow us to be christened until we were 16, because he felt it was wrong to commit anybody to something to which they had no right to reply. Mm. So we were, all of us, christened and confirmed at 16. Well, both of us were christened and confirmed at 16.
You should make up your own mind.
Because we had to make up our own minds about things. Mm. And this is the way, really, my mother laid the plans, so to speak, that we would think for ourselves and
This was while an MP, was it? Or
no, it was before it became an MP. He became an MP in 1924. But before that, I've forgotten the date, but there's around somewhere. Mm. And he went to Ruskin and left my mother, who was happy for him to go. And I think he was there 18 months. He didn't stay and finish the two-year course because he felt he was really being rather unfair to his wife and children, and he should come back and also take a little more part in the business, then we could have a little more money. But he did in fact go to Ruskin, and whilst he was there, there was a tutor called Mademoiselle Coulon. And she was punting one day. My mother had gone down for the weekend and they were punting on the river. And my father said, that's our tutor. She'll be in the water before long. And sure enough, she was. And my mother said that she was hysterical. And my father was sort of a reasonable swimmer and he dived in. She couldn't swim at all, this woman. And he managed to clutch at her and take her. And by this time, they were within the part where there's a wall by the river. It wasn't a grass bank, it was a wall, and there were chains. Mm. And he was hanging onto this chain and hanging onto this woman. All her clothes came over her head, and she had the luminous black knickers filled with water. My father said he was so horrified, he thought any woman that would wear knickers of that sort deserved to drown, and nearly put her back. However, but my mother was there, you see. So, this family in Belgium, they lived in Belgium, a place called Veile-Manange, her father wrote and offered payment to my father for saving his daughter's life and that's all, and said that any of us would be welcome. And the outcome of that was that both my sister went after she left school, before she went to the school, and spent a year there and went to school, and I did the same thing.
So it was like sort of finishing school?
Like finishing school, but we lived with this family of this woman who was a tutor at Ruskin. She has visited us regularly. She was here 2 years ago in her 80s. And I haven't heard from her this Christmas, which seems to me indicative that perhaps she has died, so I shall make inquiries. She knows my husband and my family. And
so she really became a family friend.
Became a family friend and kept in touch with her. Both my sister and I were sent there. And my mother was... she felt that travel was terribly essential. We ought not to be parochially minded or nationally minded. We should be internationally minded. And she took my sister to Germany. And then she was going to take me. But then my father died at 47, completely worn out. Because in those days, political meetings, as you will know, were not as it is today. With a microphone, you stood and shouted in the open.
How long was he an MP, actually?
Well, he was member of parliament in 1924, and then in 1931, when there was a split in the Labour movement over creating a national government.
And he was elected from 1931 onwards then?
No, he fell out with Ramsay MacDonald.
I see.
He fell out with him. Mm. So he stood at the election, which...
In 31.
He stood and he lost his seat.
Did he?
Yes. And really, he lost his seat because of his conviction that if he'd been prepared to go along with this movement, but he had by that time come to regard Ramsay MacDonald with a certain amount of suspicion, since he was very much a social climber and a ladies' man. That's jumping the gun somewhat.
So in fact that really finished his parliamentary career?
That finished his parliamentary career. We then went, we had already moved to Sidcup so that we didn't have this awful business of he was traveling from Lincoln to Sidcup.
But he was still a member.
He was still a member then, yes, he was still a member of Parliament then. But then he went back to Lincoln about this election. And everybody said, you know, for goodness sake, you lose the seat, but he wasn't prepared to listen. And he had laid the foundations of the Labour movement in Lincoln, and he felt that Reverend MacDonald was wrong in what he was doing. And so he did lose his seat, and he was very upset. But that was it. They were both stoic about everything, both on the local, and they stuck together so much. You see, they were very devoted each to the other and had a great respect for what each were trying to do. That was it. Anyway, I don't know if I've said enough about that.
That's very interesting. But your mother presumably was separated from your father quite a lot of the time while he was an MP, was she? I mean,
well,
it must have been rather...
It was. We did get a flat in Golders Green, and we lived there for a while. And my father had two friends at Golders Green. Hospital in Golders Green, which is a hospital run by the unions and is still in being and flourishing, called Manor House Hospital. So we had a flat in Golders Green, and we had access to this very nice house in which Dr. Long lived. That was James, the physician, and then the other one was the surgeon, and he was knighted.
Woodall,
W-O-D-A. Have you not?
No.
Well, he was a socialist. He worked at Manor House Hospital. I think it's solely run by the unions. And he was knighted for his surgery in the First World War. His brother was there too, called James Woodall, and he was the physician. So he was Dr. Mills, Mr., but then he was knighted. And then he I don't know what it is, he became a lord. Sir Ambrose Woodall to Lord Uvedale, which was the name of his house. I've got their pictures and notes about them and everything there. They were great friends of my father's, great supporters of him. And they always had Easter together, the three of them. They used to go off at Easter together. So after the flat at Golders Green, we got this house in Sidcup.
When would that be, roughly, I mean, sort of, while your father was an MP?
Yes, it was about 1930, I think.
Yes, I see.
Somewhere I brought down a watch that was presented to my mother and is inscribed on the back.
Yes, not to worry, I just wondered roughly when it was.
Yes.
So did your mother, I mean, did your father like being in Parliament?
He did. He did. And he made his mark. It was said that he was one of the finest speakers. Punch did a full-page thing on him, and my mother thought this was hugely amusing, and they put my father's head on the Lincoln Imp body, in the Lincoln Imp in the cathedral, and said the Lincoln Imp is at it again, or something. There's this article in Punch, which I've got a copy of. So, however, after he lost his seat, he did all sorts of things. And his only brother that was now left kept on the family business. And it is only within the last 10 years that it was closed down. He's now in his middle 70s, lives in Lincoln, has just been given the freedom of the city. He became a local politician a long time after my father's death. But 2 years ago, on a new housing estate in Lincoln, they planted a lot of grass and seats around, and three trees were named, one after my father, one after my mother, and one after my sister, for the work they did for Lincoln. And the street itself, where this is at the top, was named after my father.
So he really was a major local figure.
Yes, he was. And I've got this book out. I know we are talking about my mother, but they are so combined.
Yes, precisely. You can't really separate them, can you?
Not She was, as I said, very fond of music, and we weren't allowed to touch the piano, but I remember there was a Zeppelin air raid, and I was about four, I would think. And to my astonishment, and I remember it now, my mother fetched a hammer and some nails, and she drove them into the piano all the way around and put thick blankets up, and said, "Get up there, you children, I'll bring you some pillows and you'll go to sleep." And we used the grand piano as an air raid shelter in the 1418 war. Well, I wasn't born until 1930, so I was only small, but I do remember this, and I remember being so horrified that my mother banging the nails into the grand piano, which we were not allowed to touch. But it was a very splendid air raid shelter if anything had happened. And in fact, bombs fell at a field behind where we lived. And until such time as we left Lincoln, that was known as the bomb field. And I don't think even now it's built on.
What did your mother do, actually, while your father was in the war? Your father was in the front, was he?
Yes, he went off. And well, my mother was, even at that time, undergrounding a bit for suffragettes. But, you see, everybody was hell-bent on the war effort.
Yes.
So these things really were put on one side.
Yes, I
see. And she had got three young children, you see, by this time.
And she was really a housewife.
She was really a housewife, except that she was chairman of one of the branches of the Labour Women's. You know, they had what was called the Labour Women's Sections. Mm. And my mother was chairman, and then eventually she became president of the Women's Movement, the Labour Movement in Lincoln. She became the president. So she was all the time working outside the home, as well as
inside. But in a barn, she was not paid for it.
No, she was on the old Board of Guardians, and she thought that was a most terrible setup. She worked very hard to get rid of that. She worked very hard and pressurised the corporation through my father to set up a municipal maternity home in Lincoln. She was one of the ones that did that. So when my father died, she felt that she had to get herself going again, and she had always been very interested and impressed by Mary MacArthur.
Okay. Could I interrupt you and just ask you when your father did die?
1934.
I see, not long after he ceased to be an MP.
Not long after he ceased to be an MP.
Yes, that's interesting.
I think it was 1934.
Yes. Not to worry, I just was a speaker, actually. What was she like?
These are the things that...
Yes, I'd love to look at these.
That's her name,
yes.
You see.
Yes. And was she sort of... was she a very intelligent speaker in terms of being in control of the material?
Very intelligent. She was very intelligent. Really, I'm amazed how well my mother did, considering that her education was not up to university standards at all. Those days one didn't really go to university unless you were of an intensely privileged class,
yes,
and intensely interested in, I mean, women doctors were fighting for the royal free, weren't they, to accept them as students, women medical students and so on.
So was she good at repartee with an audience?
Very good indeed. She was a first-class speaker. I was always amazed that it was my mother up there spouting. I really was, and she could hold an audience spellbound. She wrote a lot of articles, some of which are there. She always had a sort of inner motivating thing that set her going, and once one page was turned, she was off onto something else. And
she didn't look back.
Never. Mm. No, she didn't. And she said she'd had a very sad life in a lot of ways, but a very rewarding and a very full one. When my father first became ill, he said he would like to visit the West Indies. And so that they went off to the West Indies together. This was about 1928, I think. And when he got there, he was appalled at the condition of the sugar plantation workers.
strike, were they involved in any way in the general strike of the parents?
Yes, I can remember my mother in the general strike. It sounds dreadful. When was it? It was
26,
that's right. And I can remember my mother saying, it's awful and it will mean a lot of discomfort and it will mean a lot of harassment and everything else. But we have got to put up with it because people have got to realise that we are no longer prepared to accept these conditions. Mm. For one of my mother's friends, excuse me, who was of the working class very much, but a very intelligent, sensible woman, and had no privileges at all, less than my mother by a long way. And her husband was played there, and he earned £2.10, not this £10, but £2.10, on the railways. And he was one of the ones, of course, he was out on strike, and my mother used to bake and take food to them. She agitated and she was annoyed because other people drove buses and things to create a transport. Mm. Yes, mm. She was very annoyed about this. But always in her mind, I think, she was held back because she had three children.
You mean she would have been much more...
She would have been, yes, she would. But I think this, to a degree, held her back. And I think this is why she wasn't really a militant. I think she would dearly have loved to have been a militant.
Yes, we've rather skated over,
they
I suppose,
have,
the suffragette
but
here.
I warned you.
We'll go forward in
yes.
a minute. But just going back to the suffragette thing, she did a lot of speaking. This is just after she'd married her father.
Yes.
She did a lot of speaking for it.
Yes.
She on the stool.
She did. Yes, yes, she did.
Lying in the prayer.
Yes.
What else did she do?
Well, I found the other day, and then I've lost it. I am so disorganised, but I've been terribly busy.
Organised than most people, believe me.
Minding other people's business except my own. What did you ask me?
What else did she do? She just spoke, really, did she? You know, help join me?
Yes. I found a thing where she had been... She and a few others had called a meeting in the Corn Exchange in Lincoln. And they hadn't notified the police. Mm. And the police had got to hear of it, raided the place. And my mother was very much rough manhandled by the police. But, you see, they weren't doing anything...
Illegal.
In a militant or illegal. They were holding the meeting almost in a fray, you might say, when the police got in because they fought these women.
But she didn't actually do
anything.
But
she didn't actually do anything that was militant at all, no. And this was really because my father said that she wasn't to do that.
For your sake, really?
For our sake, yes. Mm. But I am quite sure, knowing my mother and being a fighter, that she would have been. Had it not been for that. But she was in the suffragette movement, really, I would say, from the very early roots of the thing.
Rather Labour movement, I suppose, all mixed up together.
Yes, although she was a suffragette before she was a socialist.
Oh, was she? Yes,
she was.
Yes,
because
your
she
father.
Came from this very much conservative background. So she was a suffragette first and a socialist after.
Yes.
But a very ardent socialist.
Yes. It was your father who really...
He was the one that convinced her.
Where does he get his socialism from, do you think?
Do you know, I don't know. And none of his family or anything were involved in politics at all.
Because they're both unusual in their families, aren't they?
Very.
Personal parents.
Very. Yes, very. They weren't at all. And my father's youngest brother, who is the one who has just had the freedom of the city of Lincoln, and it isn't likely given because there are only ever three people allowed to have it.
Yes.
And at the moment it's the great-great-great-grandson of Alfred Tennyson. Mm-hmm. The other one is Sir Francis Hill. This is his last book, and he mentions my father in that three times.
Does he?
Yes.
Does he?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
And your brother...
He's just my uncle.
Well,
last year was given the freedom of the city
for
his services. Now, although he was a socialist, he was